You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Years ago, two famous comedians, Abbott and Costello, had a funny baseball routine which began, "Who's on first?" Today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will ask, who is on first in your life?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
As we all know, when the first button is wrong, all the rest will be out of place. Many people build their lives from a false start. They have the wrong thing on first place in their lives, and everything else just keeps coming out wrong. They either do not begin with God, or they fail to go all the way with Him and His promises. O Lord Jesus, show me the better way. You on first. Today, help me to rearrange life's priorities so that you always dominate the first position in my life. Amen. Man resists God's demand for first place. At a recent commencement exercise, university graduates were told that their first responsibility was to themselves. God was a distant last. A recently published survey on personal values showed that God ranked anywhere from 3rd to 14th on an 18-point scale. We like to do our own thing, regardless of what God says. We put family, business, children before God, singing the old child's song of "Me First." Well, God, who must be first in order to give us all that we need, is pushed off first place. Please remember that only one can be first in your life. In baseball, it just does not work when two runners are on the same bag. Jesus said about the same thing years ago, "You can't serve two masters. One has to be first." And Jesus demanded that place before children, parents, spouse, and even one's own life. Jesus called for an unconditional, unshared first position. Even Christians fail to put God on first all the way, all the time. One is not a Christian because of this, but rather in spite of it. When Christians displace God on first, they suffer for it. But yet Christians continue to deal with God as though He were irrelevant. How long one can do that and still be a Christian, I do not know. But let us jettison the idea that if one is a Christian, God always comes first. If God always came first among church members, there would be standing room only in each local congregation every Sunday morning. and we should have to have special meetings to decide what to do with all the surplus funds that would be given in God's name for his work on earth. We don't. So we do displace God at first position. Ask yourself, what is the center of your world in life? Who's on first? Only God deserves to be on first, and Jesus is God, the Lamb who took away the sin of the world. Jesus made his God claim time and again, and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead verifies his claim. He is God, alive now, at the right hand of the Father. So did the apostles preach. Jesus is Lord and Christ. John terminates his gospel by saying that everything had been written so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that so believing we might have life. Only God in Christ deserves to be on first. So now, who's on first with you? That's really the crucial question today. We speak not only to those without Christ, but also to church members. Who's really on first? First in your family life, first in your personal, in your social life. Who's really on first when we excuse sexual license? Take the lives of unborn infants, wink at divorce, procrastinate about sexual sins. Who is on first with you? Don't sidestep an answer by referring to your church membership, your years of study or work in the church, or your belief in God. Believing in God is not enough. False prophets of every age profess belief in God. The devil believes in the true God, writes James. But God is not first with Satan. Sometimes Christians take comfort in their sin of expelling God from first place by saying, I'm not worried. God will understand. I know he loves me, and he knows I love him. Well, my friend, God does understand, and he does love the whole world, including that vast majority in hell. But that does not change the fact that they are in hell. Jesus commands first place, and then promises that he will bless obedience to that command by adding everything else we need. Oh, see the promise that God gives to us. Put God first, and he will take care of the rest of your life now and in eternity. Learn this secret. When God is first, even troubles become blessings. Listen to Peter and Paul speak in united voice. Thank God that we are counted worthy to have these kinds of troubles. Thank God. The real problem is that too many people, and that includes church people, still have trouble because they neglect to put God first. They fail to live as Christians despite their calling in Christ. God is not on first, so the joy and power of Christ is missing. God has not failed them. They have flinched, faltered, and failed God. Do homes crumble because God is on first with husband and wife? Do marriages disintegrate because God is on first? Do children bring pain and shame to homes because God is on first? Do congregations wilt and wither and wane in Christ's work on earth because God is on first? No! What perverts life? What strangles relationships? What destroys life's purpose and joy? What annihilates families and homes? What ruins congregations is the result of God not being on first. Put this motto on your walls. Hang it before your eyes. Inscribe it on your hearts. I'm third. God is first. Others second. I'm third. When God is first, all the other things in life begin to fall into their proper place. With God on first, you cannot possibly lose. And without him there, You cannot possibly win. Now or then, here or there. God wants you to receive the vim, vigor, verve, and vitality of Him on first in your life. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things shall be added unto you." Nothing else will do. If God is not first, you've missed the boat. If God is not first, you are either not a Christian and going to hell, or you are a Christian living like an unbeliever in sin. And Lord, have mercy on us. It is easy to move Christ from first place, to end up with a religion of little power, belonging to a church but lacking the dynamite of Christ for daily living. Don't stop with church membership or being religious. Go all the way with God on first. Dare to take God at His word. Put Him first, His kingdom, His Son, His Christ, His righteousness, and see if He will not add all the rest. God dares you to put Him first. Nobody knows His name. A little boy of 8 or 9 years, hands clasping knees as if huddled for warmth. His frozen body was found at 17,712 feet on El Plomo in Chile. We are told he was sacrificed to the sun, entombed near an Inca shrine. That's how man's religions figure God's righteousness. Kill someone or yourself, and God will be satisfied. You pay. You sacrifice. You bleed. And if you bleed enough, if it hurts enough, perhaps then God will be satisfied. And so it was that a little Inca boy was entombed about 500 years ago on a lonely mountain to freeze to death in sacrifice to the sun. Well, this is not God's way. Man does not pay. God does. God sweats, cries, bleeds for you. The Son of God condescended to become a man. He came to die. Behold His love for you in terms of nails and wood, whip and spear and hell, all for you that you might live. He bleeds so that you might survive. God pays for your sins. He gives you His very best. Crib, cross, the life and death and life again of the God-man Jesus Christ. And it was enough. We are pardoned, released, forgiven, saved, given amnesty. All because Christ died for us and rose again. Observe the love. Because God punished and forsook His own Son, we are acceptable with God. We are absolved of our whole debt of sin. Because God made His Son to suffer in hell for us, we need never, ever suffer in hell. Peace has been purchased with God at the price of God's full and holy wrath being brought down with hammer hardness on His own Son. So, it is not necessary for us to kill ourselves for God, or to kill others so that our God loves us or tolerates us. He loves us. He really cares. And all this love and power is offered to us freely in Jesus Christ. God is not out to get something from you, but rather to give you everything worthwhile. He was and still is on a mercy mission, not a search and destroy mission. He came and gave life to a world stinking of death. He came to die so that we might live forever. He lives now so that we need never die. All this and more for you. Not merely someday, but also now. Not maybe or perhaps, but guaranteed. Not given because you are good, but because God is good. What then is left to say? How do we pick proper priorities and avoid life's trivia? Repent. Yes, repent. Call it a sin against God when you replace him at first place in your life. Pray for the broken heart of the psalmist and trust Jesus Christ for your forgiveness. Trust him enough to put him on first. He went all the way for you, that you might be his own and have forgiveness and be an heir in heaven. You can go all the way with him. Yes, put Christ on first. Amen. Then he'll also add all the rest for life now. Amen. And the very best is yet to come. Amen.